I got you.
Now we record. Look at that handsome young devil in Puerto Rico.
In the Puerto Rico.
The best part of the whole thing is he's a Texan wearing a Colorado shirt in Puerto Rico.
Right?
This is exciting. I mean, this is our first like out of the U.S. kind of, you know, I know Puerto Rico is part of the U.S.
territory,
but still, I mean, this is kind of exciting. I mean, this is where we start getting the real listeners. Like, this is when things really start happening, guys. I'm excited.
That's what I'm saying.
So I'm excited.
I'm excited for this show.
Yeah,
let's... Well, we're gonna jump right in. We're gonna make it happen.
I like the new decor.
Yeah, I was telling Joel, I rearranged the entire office. Like, nothing is where it was before. Everything moved. So
I love the magazine.
Yeah,
yes. I'm gonna get a frame for it. It's not framed right now, so I gotta frame it again.
I showed that to Christy the other night when you sent me the look what I found, and she's like, oh boy.
Like, but man, hey,
that was one time.
I think the featured artist y'all will enjoy. And then I told Joel, I've got the first listen. I'll bring that up here
again.
Yeah, it's going to be
good. Oh, good Lord.
It's going to be good. You'll see why. But
yeah, I appreciate the shout outs to people we know and whatnot. But then, come on.
Well, trust me, this week, we don't know these people. So
not that you know of.
No, we don't know these people. Okay. You might. I don't. So,
what if I did? That'd be crazy.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Let's do this, man.
All right.
Let's jam this on the one.
Whoa. Hey.
You're taking
Peter Puffer, Piper, Hero, sitting down to pee guy. Why did you try that again? And this time, say it right.
I said a jamming on the one.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the UNT3 podcast.
Oh, man.
Man, we got one of us coming at you all the way from Puerto Rico. What's up, man? Yeah. That's my best accent right there because, you know, it is what it is. But, hey, we're three best friends. We have a podcast that brings you all music all the time. Whenever we get together, whether it's in the same state or in an American territory, hey, we're going to bring you music. That's what we do.
I'm your host,
Coach Gerfers. We got our hero up here. The pasties have been ordered, and they should be here by September. And then this guy right here, one take. He's going to do it all the way from Puerto Rico in one take. We're not going to have to say cut. Let's do that again. But, man. So, we're going to dive right in, okay? And what I've got for you tonight, Fisher's going to love it. Look, I didn't have a lot of time, so I had to go to, you know, something that I had waiting in the wings. This is one of his favorite because it's a TikTok list of five songs. But here's the thing. I'm going to follow it up, and I think he'll like what I'm going to say in a second. It's going to be five songs that make you want to take a long drive with the windows down.
Ooh.
Now, I understand the two of y'all have a ridiculous amount of music knowledge, and your brain library of songs that could fit on this list is stupid big. So when I play this list, I'm playing it with extreme prejudice because I did not make this list.
Okay? I like that, extreme prejudice.
Yeah. So we're going to play it. Now, there may be some songs on this that y'all enjoy. There may be some songs on this list that you go, Yeah, why'd they put that one? They could have picked this one. Again.
Well, you know, this is a TikTok list, so take it for what it is.
Here it is. Five songs that make you want to take a long drive with the windows down.
With the windows down.
It's a little on the nose, don't you think? I mean, is the name of the song Drive?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And not the name of the song Drive by
Incubus? Yeah, Drive.
Yeah.
Drive by Incubus.
Yeah.
That was one of those.
On the nose.
That was the band when we first started hanging out. That was one of those bands that was pretty popular back in those early 2000s. You know?
They were. And I. That song, I'm not upset with, right? I'm not like, oh my God, I can't believe that song's on the list. It's a decent song. I dare say a good song. I am by no means an Incubus aficionado. Like, they're not in my rotation. They're not on my playlist. I mean, there's a few songs here and there that are, but according to my brother, he loves Incubus. He's one of those people that I like the Incubus before Incubus got popular.
Mm.
Right. So like, he likes the album Fungus Among Us.
Yeah.
And
what it means, Science. I think Science like is the first one.
Yeah. and he would say those two albums, those are more apt for taking a long drive with the windows down than what was just played. But I could, if I was taking a long drive with the windows down and that song came on, I wouldn't skip it. I'd let it play.
Sure.
Yeah. So, no, that's a great, I like Incubus and I like that track and I like all of Incubus. So I love that song. I wouldn't turn it off.
I don't hate the choice.
Yeah. All right. So, well, let's see what y'all think about the next song. Because, here we go. You're the judge.
Oh, no. Set me free. No. You're the judge. Oh, no. Set me free.
I know my soul's freezing hell's high. Okay, so I have to plead ignorance of this song. That could have been a first listen for me. Like, I don't know what that song is. I don't know who it is. So
that is, do you want to go, Joel, or do you just want me to say
it? No, go say it. You're
that is 21 Pilots, and the song is The Judge.
Yeah, I love 21 Pilots. That is not a song that I would listen to on a road trip.
I would probably skip it.
I would skip it too.
That is a song that I did not know before this list. Now, yeah. This song, y'all know. Y'all know the next one.
Okay.
So here we go.
Okay.
Okay, before you play it,
yeah.
If we know it, do you think it would make either of our lists?
I don't. That's the hard thing. I don't know. This song, in all honesty, this is a question mark.
Okay.
I'm going to say, shit, I don't know. I'm gonna say
just play it. That was worth it right there.
I don't know. Damn it.
That was, yeah, I agree. That was perfect.
Oh yeah.
Nope.
Yep. 100%. And then I would keep this on a road trip.
I gotta let the vocal hit for a second. Everything's so blurry, and everyone's so fake, and everybody's in... All right. Puddle of Mud with Blurry.
As long as it's not a live version, we're okay. Yeah.
If y'all haven't seen it, go on YouTube and watch his version of About a Boy or whatever it is, whatever that Nirvana song. It's so terrible.
About a girl.
Oh, that is. Thanks, sir. I knew it was something about a girl. I have to say, I love that song. And by the way, on a side note, it always weirds me out that it has a major versus minor in the vocals and the guitar, and they switch it back and forth, and it somehow works. Because it sounds weird, but it also sounds good. So I don't know. That's a little nerdy.
That song was that blur? No,
Blurry. Yes.
Blurry by Puddle of Mud.
Fact that I actually kind of know what it is kind of disappoints me. But well, you know, that song. I don't know. I guess I don't know if either one of y'all pay attention to this kind of stuff, but just listening to it and the production and I guess the structure of how the song is written, it's very like that's an early 2000s song.
Yeah, it's very Nickelback.
Which should make you happy.
Like, it would, I like the first Nickelback album. I've said that before. I just don't like it when he sings Hero. So.
But if I was listening to maybe an early 2000s playlist and that came on, I would probably listen to like the first minute and a half of it, which is about half the song, and then skip to the next one.
Yeah.
That's one of those songs that even though I'm not a big fan of it or the band, just listening to it reminds me of a specific time in all three of our lives. And, you know, for the most part, it was a bunch of good times. So,
yeah,
it would be a guilty pleasure if anything else.
Yeah, no, 100%. But no, I definitely would listen to this sucker. It reminds me of 10 people piling in the back of my 91 Ford Ranger. And driving around, so I'm totally
with the
I'm totally
camper down. Cover.
Yeah.
Yes. So the next two songs, I think you both will say yes.
Okay.
I think you will both say yes to the next two, but I could be wrong with this one. Here we go.
Well, let's find out. Whoa. Yes. Amber is the color of your energy. Yes. Most anything by this band.
That's what I was gonna say.
It's almost like he has two different snares that he's hitting.
Yeah.
Like two different snare tones.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a drummer that the next time we do a super group, I would have no problem him being. But I would probably have him on my list.
Yeah. He's.
I think his name is Chad Sexton.
Yeah. That's that. Yeah.
I think that's it. Oh, yes.
Yeah, no, you got it. You nailed it.
For those of you who don't know, that was 311, and the song is Amber. And I would almost go as far to say as if you're not a 311 fan or at least don't appreciate their music, I don't know if I can be friends with you.
Speaking of bands, that Grassroots Music, the self-titled Transistor, could easily be the best four album stretch of any band. Like, cause I mean, they really couldn't do any wrong. You know, I love 311. I don't know why I didn't think about that when we did the conversation about the three album stretch, but man, they were so consistent and no one sounds like them. You know, like if you're able to cover Love Song by The Cure and make it your own and it sounds,
yes,
it sounds comparable or in some cases even better than the original. I mean, that they're a great band. So,
yes.
So we like 311 in this house, but the one thing Anna is upset with is she got a chance to see them live and she said they were terrible live. She said it sounded nothing like what was on the CDs.
Was she drunk or high or?
I doubt it. But, you know, because what it is
there any band that she has gone to see that she was just like, oh my God, that was a great concert?
Nine Inch Nails.
Yes.
Nine Inch Nails.
Well, Nine Inch Nails, but then also she saw Dave Matthews live and she said Dave Matthews live sounded exactly like it did on the recordings and better.
And she loved Bullet. She loved Avenged. I mean, she's got some, but she's had, you know, I mean, I had the same experience with County Crows, man. I spent every penny I had to get tickets, and it was one of the worst concerts I've ever seen. So sometimes it just happens, man.
Well, let's see what.
Well, I haven't had the opportunity to see 311 live, and I would love to. Every performance that I've seen on any recorded performance, and I know a recorded performance, you can go in and mess with the sound and whatnot if you want to, and overdub stuff if you want to. I mean, I know you can do all that kind of stuff, but. Like I watched their Lollapalooza performance in Chicago from I think like 2015 or something like that. And it was one of the best shows I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you just, every band is going to have on a tour, they're going to have a handful of shows that people walk away going, what the hell was that?
Yeah. Well, and it also depends on where they're at in the, you know, like if you're opening for another band that's, you know, much better, like bigger draw, they may make your sound worse. I mean, I've heard stories of them not allowing them to mix the way they like it because they're not the headliner. So.
Well, Metallica is notorious for that.
Yeah. Right? I was going to say that, but I didn't want to.
No. And from what I understand, they have their very specific reasons why they do that. But mm-hmm. like when I saw when I went to the Summer Sanitarium tour in 99, maybe 2000, somewhere in that area, 99, Korn and Linkin Park were part of that tour. And neither one of them, they were very loud. But neither one of those bands, there wasn't a lot of bottom end in their sound, and that was on purpose, right? Because they weren't able to mix their sound. I tell you what, though, the both those bands put on a hell of a show.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Very loud, very eardrum piercing. It was awesome.
Back I'm deaf now.
I am deaf now. I would bring it back. I would definitely have that 311 song and a lot of others on my long drive with the windows down.
Playlist. Pretty much, I would play the whole albums in a row. Definitely.
Yeah.
I think this last song on the list, you both are going to go, yep, absolutely. So okay. Here we go.
This whole album.
This 100%. I was literally. Minus the last song. I'm not a big fan of Red Hot, but this is, yeah.
Red Hot is just what it sounds to me like, hey, let's just do this goof and throw it in at the end of the album.
Yeah, it's a little feet cover.
We got to hear the greatest bassist of all time, though, here in a second. I'm joking.
I literally thought he was going to stop.
Trying to get us copyright struck.
Oh, man.
But that's Under the Bridge by Red Hot Chili Peppers, yep. Off one of the greatest albums of all time, Red Blood Sugar Sex Magik.
100% agree. I agree with everything you just said.
That, if we ever, and this might be a show topic for later, but like, if we ever talk about, you know, what album is the album of the 90s, that's in contention.
Yeah. Well, and right? The one thing that's beautiful about that album is. It harkened back to a day of the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper, where every song was a thread that led into the other song. And it wasn't like, it wasn't like a gimmick, like it was intentionally leading you from song to song to song. So by, at least for me, by the time that I got to the end of the album, I felt like I'd been on a journey. It didn't feel like,
an album of
songs. It felt like a story of sorts. Plus the fact Rick Rubin producing, the band was at their peak creatively, in my opinion. You know, John Frusciante hadn't lost any of his chops, you know, he hadn't really lost to heroin yet. It's just such a phenomenal and beautifully made album. And I Fisher, like, I totally agree. 311, every song off an album. the same thing with this one. I would literally listen to this whole album on a road trip for sure. Definitely.
Yeah, this is one of those albums that came out in that 44-day span of time.
Yeah.
It was Pearl Jam's 10, Metallica's Black Album, Nirvana's Nevermind, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Blood Sugar Sex Magik.
Yeah. And Soundgarden's Bad Motorfinger.
Bad Motorfinger.
Yeah.
Use Your Illusions 1 and 2.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's just on the rock side. Like, that, I would put the years of 91 and 92 as far as music releases out there with any years.
67.
60s. And 67. Yeah. Like, just the, and it's not just that these albums were great albums. These are albums that, like, people point back to, and when they record their albums, they go, I want it to sound like this one.
Yeah.
I want it to sound like Blood Sugar Sex Magik. I want it to sound like 10, right?
Yeah.
I want that feel, that sound, whatever. It's hard to go wrong with the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. So, I totally agree. Everything you said, I 100% agree with. So please mark this day down. 100% agree with Fisher. I do have a question though. Do you have a song? Obviously, there's one not on this list that you would, that either one of y'all, like for me, like Van Morrison, Into the Mystic, like for whatever reason, that's a song. Like, actually, Van Morrison is an artist. I just old manned myself. And I also like listening to the Beatles. Sergeant Pepper on a Road Trip or Magical Mystery Tour. Like, those are two albums that I feel like, again, kind of tell a story. Is there anything that y'all have that's a road trip album for y'all?
An album or a song?
Sorry, a song. Either one. I mean, I guess.
I don't know about the Doobie Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
I listen to Doobie Brothers. I don't know. It's... Okay, road trip album, because I associate road tripping with summer, right? Mm-hmm. That's when most people will take a road trip, is during the summertime.
Heck yeah.
And so...
Preach.
Stone Temple Pilots Purple.
Oh, I 100%.
I think that is... because if I'm not mistaken... It's going to turn 30 in a couple of years.
Yeah, it's coming up. Yeah.
And June of 94, I think, somewhere in that area. So it came out in the summertime. And, you know, I remember when I got that album, going to the beach a lot. That kind of stuff. So I associate it with summer, obviously. But God, there's song one to song end. Like, that is, that's a great album to just put on and I'm getting on the road. So that one, Stone Temple Pilots Purple.
Man, you need to go to Puerto Rico more often, brother. I'm loving you right now. Like, this is great.
I'm in vacay mode, yo.
What about you, Gurfers? Do you have a song or something that's your go-to?
So I'm gonna stick true to the list and I'm gonna have a song. It's Dave Matthews Band number 45. That song.
You can't go wrong with Dave Matthews as a road trip.
Yeah, dude. Crash or These Crowded Streets, man. Those two albums alone, man.
Well, the song, I mean, even the song Crush is another good one to roll to. I mean, all of it. Like, dude, Trippin' Billies. But then I'm gonna throw one more out. Fine, I'll get on the album train. The other one back when I would drive a lot would be the Mad Season album.
Oh,
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so I thought we were gonna hear bum bum bum.
so to you know, since we're 90s junkies, whatnot. To get out of that, I would say for a song, Can't Go for That by Hall & Oates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, I actually did a whole bunch of non-90s songs. I did the Beatles. I did Van Morrison. Come on.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing. Let's see if y'all think...
Phil Collins is a good...
Ooh, Face Value is a great album.
Let's see if y'all think our featured artist would be somebody that would fit into what we're talking about right now.
Somebody.
All right, let's do it.
Now, I'm not going to give you stats or anything. I'm just going to hit play, and then I'll explain to you exactly what we're
stats.
Doing. No stats yet. They'll come after I hit play.
Stats and figures, man.
So here we go. Because you'll understand here in a minute.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Oh. Yeah, we really are becoming old men.
This is a good road trip.
Yeah. Any Eric Clapton.
Long. It's getting near dawn. But this isn't Eric Clapton.
I know. It's Cream.
So.
But is it really anybody else other than.
So.
Ginger Baker?
I know.
On the top of the note sheet here.
I don't know the from Cream. So.
I have our featured artist tonight is Eric Clapton / Cream.
Okay.
Okay. So. What we're looking at right now. And here come the stats.
Let's do it.
Now, this is Eric Clapton by himself. This is Eric Clapton. 24
was our first lead guitar player.
He was.
24 studio albums, 26 singles, 17 live albums, and 8 soundtrack albums as a solo artist. Now, we're going to get to the awards. So, to save time, I kept the list to the major awards that this man has won. Okay. So 3 American Music Awards, 2 Billboard Music Awards. He was inducted into the Blues Hall of Fame in 2015. 17 Grammy Awards. He's in the Grammy Hall of Fame, Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award. He has 2 International Rock Awards, 1 MTV Video Music Award. Now, this I found interesting. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's been inducted 3 times. In 1992 with the Yardbirds.
Okay.
In 93 with Cream.
Okay.
And in 2000 as a solo artist.
And that's not even all the bands he was in.
I know. And then as a solo artist, he has sold over 280 million records worldwide.
Wow.
And then with Cream, they sold over 15 million.
Yeah.
That's crazy that as a solo artist, that was the last induction that he had was as a solo artist, and that it took till 2000 for that to happen.
Yeah, well, and if you think about it, he was in Blind Faith, he was in Derek and the Dominoes, he was in the Blues Breakers with John Mayall.
John Mayall? You mean John Mayer?
No, Mayhill. Yeah,
there you go. Okay.
Yes, not Mayer. This he is like. I haven't started drinking yet, so my verbiage is not accurate. I'm sure I'm missing somebody else that he was a part of, you know.
Blind Faith, is that the one he was in with what's his name? The piano player. Winwood.
Steve Winwood, yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna play another snippet of another song, so you'll know exactly what this is.
I shared with y'all that live video
a
couple of years ago when I was in Colorado. You are playing the soundtrack to the early years of One Take Fisher's life right now.
This is good, man.
Anytime I hear that song, all I can see in my mind's eye is a very young, because dad was in his late 20s, early 30s, a shirtless Papa Fisher in his jeans, dropping the needle and then doing the white guy, the white man air guitar face.
Dude, we live such different lives,
don't we? Every Saturday morning would start off with one of two bands or groups or solo. It would either be Eric Clapton or it was the Rolling Stones.
Wow. So good. Cocaine by Eric Clapton, man.
Oh, such a good song.
So let me play another one. I got several. Let me play another one real quick. I had completely forgotten about this song. And y'all are going to look at me and go, you're fired.
Well, okay.
Well, he's playing live version. Such a great song.
So here's the question. Is that Eric Clapton's most recognizable, most famous riff?
Riff? I would say so. Either that or the one you just played.
Man, well, I mean, it's either going to be one of those or it's going to be Tears in Heaven, just because it was such a massive, like, hit.
Yeah, but I would say, I don't know. That's hard. I would say that the riff to Layla that we just heard, I would say that's his most, at the very least, his most recognizable.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, that's Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
Right? And then to completely go and rearrange the song for the acoustic, the unplugged performance.
Yeah.
But
100%.
That song, my favorite part is not the beginning. It's the break.
It's the end.
At the end with the piano.
Yeah. 100%. That, in fact, if I was in Colorado one time and we were going over a mountain and that part started, and I was like, Well, and I've never been high before. That's about as close as I've come to it. I mean, I literally was like, this is what it's like, you know. It transcended me to another, because you had the Rocky part and then it just dies out to that piano part, and it's just beautiful. I have to say, he did a tour with Doyle Bramall II, and Derek Trucks, and they played this song, and that's one of the few concerts that I like. Just I wish I could have seen that, because having Derek Trucks with Derek Trucks playing the lead lines and all that stuff Dwayne Allman used to play.
I guess I'm not a I don't know who.
Well, that's awesome. Well, this is a few years ago. I mean, it's before he stopped touring, and
I remember my brother was supposed to go to that show.
Okay.
But he didn't, because he had to study for a final so that he could graduate high school.
Okay.
And so we tried to sell the ticket when we got to the Summit. That's how long ago it was.
Yeah.
Not the Toyota Center. It was the Summit.
Yeah.
And okay. I remember watching Doyle Bramall play. I'm like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And the real cool thing about the concert was we were on the floor, my parents and me. And I look over to the side, and it was like one of those openings, like where, you know, the basketball team would come through or something. And I'm like, that dude's got a really long beard. Wait a minute. That's Billy Gibbons.
Oh.
To the side watching the show.
Yeah.
And I was praying, please, Billy, get up on stage and play. But he didn't. He sat right there and watched the show from
Because he lives in Houston.
Over there. Yeah. And so, you know, But yeah, I got to see Doyle go up on stage and play Layla. It was, it was a great show.
Yeah, Dwayne Allman's on that track, Ryan, because that's actually Derek and the Dominoes. And Bell Bottom Blues is another song, and No One Knows You When You're Down
Such
and Out.
Such a great song.
Like those three songs are so great. But that little slide part was Dwayne Allman. Of course, he died in a motorcycle accident like shortly thereafter when the album was released. But I really feel like Derek Trucks is one of the few people that has that same. There's a lot of great soul slide players. You know, Bonnie Raitt's great. But I really feel like Derek Trucks is one of the few that like really has what Dwayne Allman had. And I now like and hate you a little bit more because I missed that. But great song. Show. Great song. Great. Performance. You know, this reminds me 70s, 80s, and early 90s, Eric Clapton could do no wrong.
Yeah. Well,
he had hit after hit. And I mean, in the 80s, I mean, he was doing soundtracks as well as albums, you know? So,
well, it's so we kind of like was just listening to some of the early stuff, right? You would say those songs. I'm going to time warp you a little bit into when he kind of went away from that Cream-ish sound, I guess what I'm going to say. And then he started doing stuff like this. When I look in my father's eyes, my father's eyes.
When I look in my father's eyes. He sold out a little bit here.
Now,
yeah, but by the time he put all that, he put the stuff like that out, he'd already made his bones and already,
yeah,
you know.
I thought you were gonna play Change Your World. I thought that's what you were gonna play.
And I can't fault an artist for let me rephrase that. I will never fault an artist or a band for after making music in a certain genre for any amount of time, really.
Yeah.
And then going, you know what, I've done that, I can do that anytime I want. I really want to go over here and try my hand at this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I won't fault an artist for that.
Well,
now you might say that it's selling out or whatever, but you know, especially, I don't know. Cause I'm not creative that way.
Yeah.
But I can only imagine like playing 100 miles an hour all the time gets boring really quick.
Yeah.
And you want to try your hand at something else, right? So,
yeah. No, 100%. And some of the articles I read about that time period was he had learned that you can take a vehicle like that, kind of like John Mayer is kind of the same way, to where he'll take the pop song, but then when you see him live, he extends it and gives people Eric Clapton realized early on, but it's more relevant in the late 80s and early 90s, that he could take a song like that, that's catchy and sell, you know, a lot of records. And then when he played it live, he could use that as a vehicle for people to solo. And it's, you know, people expect Clapton to play Layla. They expect that. They want him to play that. But when it comes to a lot of the solo stuff, he lets the other guys do a lot of it because, you know, hey, I had this cool band, you know, all these guys are, I mean, to be honest, most of them probably just as good as he is, you know,
when I saw him and what I was surprised because, you know, I figured I thought he would play that, but that's not him.
Oh, really?
He's just playing the chords.
Yeah.
He's got his whoever's over here, you know, that guy plays it over here. And at first I was like, oh man, I wish, you know, Clapton was playing that. But, you know, then you see it. It's not just that one song. It's all through the concert. And then, oh, I see. It's one of those deals. Like I could play that if I wanted to, but
let me
show somebody else off.
Yeah. I love it.
The next two songs are they're my top two favorite Eric Clapton songs. This first one that I'm about to play right here, Joel already mentioned it earlier. When I was younger, like in my teens and 20s, if you asked me, hey, what is an Eric Clapton song? This would have been the only one that I would have been able to tell you.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to play it.
Yeah. Man, Nathan East on bass, that whole band is just killer, but geez,
dude, so that song for me,
you know,
like I can't listen to that song and not get emotional.
Oh heck yeah.
I mean, just because of, you know, the, like, why he wrote the song is an emotional story. But I mean, dude, that's one of those songs, like we've talked about for the past year and a half doing this podcast. Music is one of those things that if it's not bringing out some type of emotion in you, that it's really probably not very good music. And that song for me is one of those. It's like, man, dude, that thing hits me in the gut every time.
Every time.
Well, it's either not very good music or it's just not, it doesn't resonate with you, right?
Sure.
Right. Like that song, I've never really been the biggest fan of that song. Just because, and we've all said it on the podcast at one time or another, like it got played out, right? It was on every 15 minutes on any given rock station,
yeah,
that you listen to. That song was always on the radio. You couldn't get away from it. And I just grew tired of it. And to me, and for me, I'm not a, when I think of Eric Clapton, I don't think of the acoustic guitar, right? I think of the electric guitar. I think, you know, loud distorted guitars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Acoustic. And so, yeah, I it's a good song. It's just not, it's not going to be on in my top 10 of Eric Clapton songs.
Well, and this, it started the Unplugged movement. Like that's the one that like everybody started. They did the MTV Unplugged right after that.
Bon Jovi's Unplugged version of Wanted Dead or Alive on the Video Music Awards.
But the Eric Clapton really kicked it off. But the Eric Clapton like concert.
Yes, a lot of people will point to the Eric Clapton Unplugged as one of the best of all time.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, for everybody that's listening, y'all can correct me if I'm wrong. Please do. But that song he wrote about his son that suddenly passed away, like he was being babysat or something and fell off a balcony. He fell off a balcony or something like that. And that's it, man. Yeah. Like just listening to the words of that song, it's like, man.
Yeah, his only kid.
Yeah. And then it's like, would you know my name if I saw you in heaven? And then it goes on to be like, and I don't belong here. It's like, God,
yeah.
It's so like, oh, but we'll go on to the next one. The next song, this is my favorite Eric Clapton song. Now I am saying Eric Clapton song. Eric that does not Clapton. Include the songs by Cream.
Okay. This
is, or Derek and the Dominoes.
Or this John
is,
Mayo.
This is solo Eric Clapton.
Okay.
Let's do it. And I can change the world. I would put this on my Windows Down long road trip. My love was really something good. Baby, if I could change. I don't know how many weddings I've played this at. Like, not during the reception. Yes, during the reception, but during the dinner part of the reception.
Yeah.
This is a good song. This is a good dinner song.
So I'm gonna move it towards the end of the song real quick, because there's something that is done on the guitar at the very end of the song, like this little run that's done at the end. And every time I'm like, ah, it's so
good. Like what I did earlier to you when we were waiting for Fisher. I played that little lick.
So let me.
Of course,
let me
play. Of course, he'll play the end of this song, but he won't play the end of Layla. It's just a little run. That's all.
It's still
so good.
I will say, I'm a fan of any song that can find a way to incorporate the organ.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. I like that song.
Yeah, it's a great song. I was actually thinking of my favorite Eric Clapton, and I actually have a little bit of an outside the box pick. He did the soundtrack for Lethal Weapon.
Yes,
and he also did the soundtrack for the movie Rush with was it Sean Patrick and
Jason Patrick
and what's her name,
Jennifer Jason Lee. Yeah, Jason Patrick, yeah. From Lost Boys.
Yeah, and those two soundtracks are just, and I'll be honest, there's a song with Sting for the Lethal Weapon song or Lethal Weapon soundtrack, but all the rest is instrumental. But I'll tell you, on the Rush soundtrack, his guitar playing is so killer.
Well, he didn't only just do Lethal Weapon. He did, I think he did all of them.
He did all the Lethal Weapons.
I know he did at least the first two Lethal Weapons.
Yeah. But I couldn't believe this is the guy that I saw on The Color of Money, you know, and like some of the other tracks, you know. Yeah. Hearing his tone is so, it's bluesy, but it's, oh man, it's so good. But
what I like about those two soundtracks, just the guitar work alone, like when you hear it, like, oh, that's Eric Clapton.
Yeah. And the other thing, 100% his fill. I even have, like, when I teach lessons and I'm teaching like off the pentatonics, I have the Gilmore and I have the Clapton. So it's a lick that he uses in a lot of his songs. But my favorite song, I'd have to say, by Clapton is Wonderful Tonight. That is, that to me is just a great song.
So before y'all say anything else, I'm going to play this song because it was the last on the list.
Oh,
and this song is actually, according if you, the almighty Google, Wonderful Tonight is his, one of his most popular, biggest hits.
I don't doubt it.
It has sold more than 4 million copies worldwide.
How so funny. Segway.
So here.
Segway. This is a good Make It Whoopee song.
Yeah.
You know who else? This is their favorite Eric Clapton song.
Who?
One of Joel's favorite people. Our former boss, Miss Connie.
No.
whenever Mr. Heath would come and play at the daycare, before he'd go back, he'd get there a little bit early, and he'd be sitting in the lobby, and without fail, every time Connie would ask him to play "Wonderful Tonight," and he would.
Shout out to Mr. Heath.
Yeah, shout out to Mr. Heath.
Mr. Heath.
That's a great song. That's one of my favorites, but I think my favorite is either Cocaine or Bell Bottom Blues.
I can't go wrong with it. Can't go wrong with it.
So, good featured artist tonight.
Nice. I'm still trying to follow up Glenn Campbell. And so.
Well, you did a good job tonight, because Clapton is definitely amazing. And unfortunately, he's at that age where, you know, you don't know how much longer you have. He's not even playing anymore.
No, wouldn't be surprised if, you know, you get the Facebook alert or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Yep. So I've got First Listen again.
Okay.
Jeez.
Now, here's the deal. I am almost positive that
this is.
I seem
to remember revoking your privileges last week.
Oh, no. This is probably going to be a first listen for all three of us.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah. So, yeah. You're telling me about Chase. Yeah.
So here's the deal. My 10-year-old came to me and said, hey, I like this song. Listen to it. I listened to a little bit of it. And I was like, you know what? We'll do that as a first listen. And so I'm just going to hit play. I have not listened to the whole thing. It's 3 minutes long, so it's not very long.
This better not be Five Nights at Freddy or some BS like that.
Okay. Our editing team reserves to write to cut this and play something else.
I don't. From what I heard, I don't think it's going to be okay. That. It's not any worse than I Gotta Pee. And so.
This is true.
So there you go. All right, here we go.
Let's do it. Drummer's pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's chase them. Trigger on the hot topic.
Sexual song.
I will say this, your kid's got better taste in music than your wife.
So have either of y'all ever heard that before?
It sounds a lot like something, like I said, you know, something that you would hear in Hot Topic circa the early to mid 2000s.
The name of the song is Middle of the Night.
I figured that
by
much.
And the band name is Loveless.
Okay.
And so
I've heard of the band.
Yeah, I mean,
I've heard of that band.
I've heard of the actress. Oh, that's Lovelace. I mean, sorry.
So where does he, I would imagine he's heard it on some YouTube channel or something.
I'm assuming it's probably he's really into anime. I'm wondering if maybe it was on some kind of anime show
or a video game.
Or a video game, something. He had to have seen it somewhere, but I'm not upset with it. I actually really kind of liked that.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it.
Yeah. But. It's well produced. It's well written. If that's a real drummer, kudos. I love the fills. Everything sounded great. If it's not a real drummer, I'd love to see it live. It's not really
right.
my, The only thing that I didn't like about it is I didn't like how repetitive in the middle of the night was.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night, in the middle of the night, in the middle of the night, in the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night, you.
From Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
But that's the only thing. And I am not a lyric guy, so don't even, like, I get it.
Whoever wrote that song wasn't a lyric person either.
Yeah, all I know is I'm gonna get mine, and you're gonna get yours.
It's very, I don't know. It doesn't the way it was produced, the way it was written, sound, all that. You could slot it in with 20 other bands from that time period.
Bands Warped Tour. You could put them on one of those other, you know.
So they're from LA.
Yeah.
Monster
Fest, the Rockstar Energy Drink, Mayhem Festival. I mean, you can literally throw them on that and they would fit right in. Hot Topic soundtrack.
On Spotify, they have 1.7 million monthly listeners.
Hey, so. It's not bad.
When was that song released?
Let me find out.
It's not, I mean, I'm not knocking it. I mean, it's good. It's not something that I normally listen to, but I mean, if I saw them live, I'd watch them.
It was released this year.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What was it released in the middle of the night?
I know, right?
You're terrible, Joel.
I am. You're welcome.
I mean, I may listen to a little bit more of their stuff just to check it out, but man, yeah. I, like I said, I'm not upset with it.
No. If he put it on, I'd say, hey, dude, that was a great job, man.
Yeah.
That's a great track. So it's heavier than I was expecting, but it's really good. I liked it. Yeah. I liked it. I got the only negative I have is how repetitive the middle of the night is. But other than that, I liked it. I thought it was really good.
Okay,
I
could check them out. So in Google, I just typed in the band and I pulled up the images and there is anime everywhere.
Okay.
So it's something with anime.
Cool.
So that's where he found that.
And that's that is fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I guess so. No, that's, I'm a fan of discovering music any which way you can, you know?
Yeah. And like Fisher said, and I don't agree with it, but it's funny. Lisa's taste is better than your wife's.
I was joking. Your wife's got okay taste in music.
Yeah. Hey, just so you know, before you got on the podcast, we actually listened to Rage Against the Machine. I was like, Fisher's not here. We're going to listen to this.
I like Rage Against the Machine. I just don't think they're as great as everybody out there says they are.
And you can be wrong. And hey, all you listeners out there, we've covered a lot of ground. I mean, we have songs to listen to with the windows down. Road trip songs is another way to put it. We had our featured artist, which is Eric Clapton, or as one time, oh, I won't say that. I'll give me trouble. Eric Clapton. And then we had a good first listen by Loveless, which, I mean, I thought it was pretty good, a little all over the place, but let us know what you think. Yeah. If you think Rage Against the Machine is as good as we say they are, we'd like to hear that too. We're at episode 66 now. We didn't think we'd get this far. We're inching up to 75 and 100. So follow us
slowly but surely.
100%. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Spotify. What's our new thing that you can follow us on? Our new website, Fisher?
Rumble.
I almost said Roblox.
Roblox. Hey, we're gonna do a live presentation on Roblox. Why not? Follow us, listen to us, comment. We want to hear. Subscribe. And if you go to some of these other channels that Fisher is going, he is such a pro. He doesn't even have to look anything. He's just going to pull it up right from Puerto Rico. But but let him know that, you know, I've mentioned Rick Beato. We mentioned Anthrax. We mentioned all these really cool channels, the Metallica historical channel. Like, let them know that NPR Tiny Desk, let them know that you heard about them from us and maybe they'll you know, shout us out too. I mean,
this, maybe somebody else will, people from other that frequent those channels will.
Yeah. 100.
Make some new friends.
100%. But Fisher, I put you on the spot here. Are you able to do this? Are you able to do this, Puerto Rico?
Hold on.
Uh-oh. That's vodka. Straight vodka.
Because I am. No. I don't drink nail polish. Nail polish remover.
Yeah.
I'm in vacation mode, which means I've got three little ones that I've got to corral. So I'll be honest. YouTube channels were not on the forefront. So I'm going to shout out some ones maybe I've shouted out before that maybe we haven't really, you maybe forgotten. So first one is the Professor of Rock. I love that channel.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, how he gets the interviews that he gets beyond me. You know, I'm always amazed that a YouTuber can get an interview with REO Speedwagon, or I mean, I know they're an older band, but still, back in their day, they were big deal. Or the Goo Goo Dolls, or you know, just various artists. And he's very insightful. And what I like about that channel is the guy is about our age, right? He's in our age bracket, so a lot of his musical tastes are, you know, what you will find here on our channel. And then the other channel is a reaction channel, and the guy actually lives in the DFW area. I found out not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Alex Hefner channel.
Cool.
He started out as a hip hop head reacts to metal channel, right? And now he reacts to a whole bunch of different stuff now. But you know, he's a local guy now. He was Houston. Now he's in the DFW area, and so. You know, I'm gonna give some local guys a shot. He's a pretty big channel, so you know, if you happen to check out these channels that I mentioned tonight, or like Joel said, or any of the channels that we've mentioned in the past, you know, just drop a little note in the comments section saying, "Hey, found you guys from the UNT3 podcast."
Yeah.
So some love for some channels that maybe we haven't talked about in the past. You know, like Joel said, he talks about Rick Beato all the time, and I cannot recommend that channel more. He does stuff for everybody, whether you're a guitar player or you're just a fan of music. And my favorite is What Makes the Song Great. That's my favorite little show that he does. But he'll break it down and say, well, this is how the song was written, and this is why it's catchy, you know.
Yeah,
it's a great channel, and he's got a ton of material. So,
and he does lessons. I mean, I follow him on Instagram, and he has like, you know, 45-second lessons, and they're stupid. So good.
What I love about his channel and most of the channels that I shout out is you can go and go, oh, I'm gonna watch one or two videos, and then 3 hours later, like, where'd the time go?
Yeah,
right,
100%.
Check them out.
Good job. Such a pro, man. See that? You see that? See that, Gurfers?
I did. Hey, and while you're checking,
it says in the name, one take.
While you're checking them out, go check our pages out real quick, because I got a few things that y'all can do while you're checking us out. Let us know two things. One, so far, who has been your favorite featured artist?
Oh, that's not where I thought you were going.
Oh. I didn't think he was going there either, but yeah.
And two, what, since the episode one until now, Order 66, what's been your favorite first listen?
Ooh.
Just curious. And on the flip side of that coin, what has been your least favorite first listen? So, and just for fun, to follow your least favorite first listen, who was the guy that brought it to you? That's what we need to know.
You're welcome.
So,
and please, please, please go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever, and make some other episode the most listened to other than the one, I think it was episode 11, where we did stage names versus real names. That is my least favorite episode.
I love that episode.
It is the most listened to episode that we have.
Is it really?
Go as of right now, yes.
We may have to do a part two then. Ride that wave from 11 to 67, right?
So the most listened to, so that means it's got like 20 listens?
No, it's got almost 70.
Nice. Hey, we're getting up there.
Hey, we're almost at 100, baby.
Almost.
Hey, you know what?
Almost.
We're
also share the episodes, any episodes, with three friends.
That's right.
And have them share it with three friends and so on. We got this. Got to be our year. Come on.
Yeah. We'll make it happen. We'll keep chugging away for our 10 listeners.
And we do it for you, baby.
We do it
for
you.
Looking right at you, Scott. Looking at you.
That's right. But hey, enjoy the rest of your year, your summer, your fall, because it's hot. Fall needs to get here. It's so hot, I don't even know what I'm saying. That's how hot it is. Okay? So enjoy the rest of your evening, day, whatever time of the day it is that you're listening to this episode. And until next time, keep living, keep loving, keep listening, and as always, keep rocking.
Metal, nice. Metal.
Well, all right, you get out of here, man. Go do your thing, dude.
Gotta go join the fam at the pool.
Oh, you son of a...
Have fun.
You dirty rat.